Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I'm making plays, bro.
Is it study or was it just right place, right time?
I don't know. I think it's just, I just make plays, bro.
hey, ain't no other way to put it. Simple and plain. I make plays. One thing about me, I make plays too. You know what I'm talking about?
I mean, like, I do the studying and all that stuff, but I don't know. It's like my whole life, I just always made plays. So
you spontaneous and instinct.
Yeah.
Bradley Roby, man. Will he be a Texan next year?
Good question.
I don't think so. Do not think so. I think he's going to get paid. I think he's going to get to go elsewhere and take his talents somewhere else. I'd like for him to be back. I like Bradley Roby as a player, but I don't know. At some point, you got to make these tough decisions.
You know what's an interesting one? Just side note real quick. We're all just assuming that Carlos Hyde is going to be back, right? And he's talked about being.
I wouldn't.
Right?
I wouldn't.
I mean, he's going to bank.
No, he's not.
Yeah, and this is the best year he's had in a long time.
He's even over 30 and he's a running back.
Yeah, but even if it's just a 1 or 2 year deal, it's going to be more than the Texans are going to offer.
I don't think so.
Texans are offering all these other guys so much money.
I don't think so.
Do you have to choose between Carlos Hyde and DJ Reader?
No. DJ is going to get way more bread than Carlos.
Talking about just in your budget.
I mean, to me, you know, we talk about rookie deals for quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. I think if you can get a badass running back on his rookie deal and just mm-hmm. keep it moving.
Yeah, I would do that.
That's something the Texans need to look into. That second mm-hmm. round pick or whatever, there's going to be some good backs, and there's yeah. going to be some backs that can carry the rock. That's what the Texans need to do, because mm-hmm. I think running backs are a dime a dozen. I think Carlos Hyde's just a guy.
Well, they're not a dime a dozen. I hate when people say that it's such a tough thing to do.
Well, I mean, it's hard, but I mean, mm-hmm. guys like Carlos Hyde are. I'm not saying like Christian McCaffrey. I'm saying it's easy to find running backs that can be productive.
Right.
And I think Carlos Hyde's just a guy. That's it.
He had been, but he had a good year.
The mm-hmm. offensive line was fixed.
Yeah.
I think Carlos moves on. I think they get a new running back. We'll see.
I'm with you. I agree.
We will see. Lamar Miller's got to be gone, though, right? Is he? That's a tough decision, right?
Well, doesn't he kind of fall into the same category? And the added bonus of an ACL?
I mean, he's not going to break bread at all. So
right. It could probably get him for the cheap.
Yeah, that's true.
You get him on a one-year deal. Duke Johnson's back, so you still got Duke. That's good.
We haven't even talked about how they're in need of a running back potentially. Big
yeah, but,
time.
But because it's easy to do.
Yeah.
I mean, Carlos was going to get cut, you know? Mm-hmm. C.J. Anderson the year before for the Rams,
mm-hmm.
they just let him walk, you know, and yeah. they still got Gurley. So I think you can find a running back, but it'll be interesting to see. Speaking of running backs, my favorite player this weekend is a running back.
Gee, I wonder who that is.
He plays for the Green Bay Packers.
Oh, wait a minute.
Plays for the Green Bay Packers.
There's a twist in the plot here.
His name is Jamal Williams. Jamal Williams might be the funniest guy in the NFL. Here's a little taste of Jamal Williams and why he is my favorite player in the playoffs. This is him first talking about the movie Frozen. I guess Frozen 2 was going to come out. Jamal Williams was extremely excited about that.
I love it. I love it all. The rain, because I think the rain slows everybody else down. So I feel like, I feel like a mermaid. I feel like a mermaid and everybody else like dogs swimming. You know what I mean? So I be feeling like I'm just fluent out there. So I think it's the rain. I feel like SpongeBob.
What was it like playing in the elements today with the snow coming down?
No, I feel great. I felt like I was in Frozen. Frozen 2. I haven't seen it yet. Is it out yet?
No, it's not.
Oh, I can't.
Actually, yeah, it had a premiere.
Is it?
Yeah.
I can't wait. Can't wait to go see that movie.
But I'm ready for it, though. I'll be like the first one in line, pushing kids out the way. Yes, I'll be screaming and stuff.
Do you hear that story about some players smoke weed before games?
I've heard it.
Yeah?
I've heard John Starks and Charles Oakley used to.
I don't know what made me think of that.
Here's some more from Jamal Williams. Talking about the weather. He loves weather, whether it's rain, whether it's snow. Jamal Williams, my favorite player this weekend, loves the weather.
They said mermaid. I just say mermaid activated. So as soon as the rain came, it felt good. As soon as it started snowing, it felt better. And then it went back to rain a little bit. So it was just like a good overall day of everything. Like one day I felt like SpongeBob for a minute, right? Then it started snowing. Felt like frozen. I was like, all right, here we go. Olaf time. Then it went back to raining. So then I felt like SpongeBob, you know what I mean? The Goofy Goober type. When he was drying up, and you know, he had that little drop of like that before he turned into, you know what I mean? That's how I felt.
What is he talking about?
Dude, he might have eaten Lucky Charms or chocolate milk or something like that at one point in his life. I mean, who knows what kind of concoctions this dude could come up with. I mean.
That was crazy.
My goodness. Man. You know how some media types ask dumb questions?
Yes, I do.
And they basically give like 35-second questions, and it's just you lose track of mm-hmm. what the hell they're talking about sometimes.
Right.
This is Jamal Williams having to deal with what a lot of athletes deal with, dumb questions from media types. He handles it a little bit different than other athletes, to say the least.
How encouraged are you by the commitment to the run now that the weather's turned a little bit, and you just get the feeling that this is the time of year with the weather conditions and cold, and a little bit more is going to be put on you guys, your guys' plate? No?
I kind of got confused. I ain't going to lie to you. Halfway through your question, I stopped listening.
That's so good. I ain't gonna lie, man. I ain't listening to you.
He tried to play it off at first.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
I ain't gonna lie, man.
He's like, well, he's trying to think of an answer. That's funny.
Who asked the worst questions in town?
I'm thinking. I'm trying to give you a right answer. You know me. I'll try to be honest.
Who asks the worst questions in town?
It's, I don't know the guy's name. I can't remember the guy's name. There's a guy from, it's usually this case too, the guys from the small town papers that are mm-hmm. in the vicinity.
Mm-hmm.
There's one dude from a small town paper that, first of all, always has to ask a question, which tells me you just want to hear yourself.
You just want to hear your voice.
You don't have to ask a question at a press conference.
You don't.
You're there to kind of absorb.
You don't.
You know, get a feel for things, listen to what the guy or the coach has to say. But this is a guy, and I wish I could remember his name, but I can't. It's like, long, drawn out, and that makes my skin crawl. You know that already. You know, just get right to it, ask the question so they don't have a lot of time to think, just give you a gut answer. But it's one of these, Coach, in the first quarter, you guys seem to be running the ball with some success. Later in the game, after you got a lead, your per carry average went down about a half a yard. Was that by design, or was there anything else working right there in your mindset trying to figure out how to finish the game?
I kind of got confused. I ain't going to lie to you. Halfway through your question, I stopped listening.
Well, you should.
Remember when Brian Gang got fired and Bill O'Brien went up there and then someone asked him about the receivers?
Yeah.
What?
You went nuts.
That was just so.
Bill O'Brien lit up after that.
Yeah, he'd answer that one.
That was just so.
He'll answer
bad.
That one.
That was a disservice
mm-hmm.
To the people. Man, that was such a disservice. I hate the question. I hate when you know that someone's writing a column and then.
Oh, like what their marching orders are?
Bro, there were 5 Jacob Martin questions the other day.
Yeah.
Like,
you knew exactly what they
were.
I mean,
you're asking 5 questions about Jacob Martin? Mm-hmm. Like, come on, man. Like. Yeah. That's the thing. But I think the worst questions are these. Coach, your running backs averaged about 9 yards per carry today, and you were able to run for 300 yards. How nice is it when the run game is doing that and you run for 300 yards? What's he supposed to say to that?
You know, it's not that,
that
nice.
That sucks.
Not that nice.
That's terrible. You know it?
That's right.
Yeah, Coach. Can you talk about DeAndre Hopkins?
Oh, don't get me started on the talk about question.
Coach, can you talk about DeAndre Hopkins and what he means to your team?
I hate talk about questions.
Don't bother me too much.
No,
they
you know why they bother me? Because you're not even trying. You're not even trying.
Why do media types get so bothered by the talk about?
Media types not ask those talk sometimes, about
sometimes
questions.
Sometimes it's bad. Sometimes it's necessary.
No, it's not. Talk about? Talk about. Let me ask you some talk about questions. Landry, talk about the sky.
Well, it's a little foggy right now. There's a little bit of, it looks partly cloudy.
Talk about Figgy.
He's a good guy. He's a very good guy. He's a good teammate. Very good teammate. Best in the world at what he do.
But here's the thing. You're not even trying when you ask a talk about question. Now let me give you another question that's maybe a little better. You're supposed to ask them short and with a true angle.
I don't always follow that rule.
Sometimes they have to be a little longer if it's kind of not necessarily.
Sometimes I feel like I have to preface it and let them know. But sometimes when I listen back, I'm like, dude, you sound like
a complete jackass. So let me ask you another question.
Jackass. Go ahead.
What does Figgy do best?
He's the best producer. He's the best producer on the go. Like, regardless of if it's on the go, we can throw curveballs because I have Figgy on the other side of the glass, and he's always going above and beyond to follow the show and blah blah blah.
Okay, well,
dump all that, Figgy. I take it back. You suck.
Now listen to the two answers you gave. The difference between a talk about question and a specific short question. When I say talk about, he's a good guy. I ask you, what is he best? What does he do best? And it's like, boom, now we got some meat on the bone. You know? I hate those so much. Let that be a lesson to you, all you journalism students out there.
What about like the fact that sometimes these guys are answering the exact same questions each week? Like, do people even try to get angles anymore?
That's what I'm saying. You got to put some effort forward.
You know what I wish?
You know how we're going to start the show Monday?
What?
Hey, talk about the game. about the Chiefs.
You know what I wish, and this isn't realistic, but I feel like I've done this before, where I've basically done other reporters' work for them. Because anytime I'm asking a question, I'm asking it for a purpose. I'm asking because the people want to know that. That's my goal. I want to try to expand on it. But in these media scrums, a lot of times there's some guys who don't ask a single question, and then there's that one guy that asked the question, and then all of a sudden the other person's doing the story about it. I wish that each reporter just got like 2 minutes with a player. Like the top beat reporters. Let's say there's 7 minutes. Mm-hmm. They get 2 minutes with the reporter, each reporter, and the reporter can ask whatever they want. And then that reporter writes their story. Tim McMahon of ESPN, he asks every damn question that needs to be asked for the Rockets.
Because he's good.
And then these guys piggyback off it, and they act like they did something. Now, you just sat there with the recorder, and you asked him about the zone defense.
Mark Berman probably wouldn't have a job because he's a pot licker. No, I don't mean that in an
Good Lord!
What?
Shots fired.
No! Wow. No, he'll tell you that. Wow!
I did not know this is where we were going.
No, there's a lot of pot lickers out there. Mark Berman's made a career out of that. He'll tell you that. Like if you're asking,
but he asks questions.
No, he does. No, he asks questions.
He asks good questions.
If he moves on, let's say you and Berman and a couple of other reporters are interviewing DeAndre Hopkins, right? And then he kind of meanders away to interview someone else. And he hears you ask a question specific about something with Hopkins, he'll come back over there and like stick his ear in there and like, hey, get the camera on that. What's he saying? He's a pot licker.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not.
I don't think he would deny that.
Okay.
Yeah.
By the way, did someone get Berman, the great Mark Berman? Did someone get him like a bag or something for Christmas? Those baggies that he carries around.
Oh yeah,
is that necessary? He's got like four oversized Ziploc bags. Like his wifey should get him like a nice bag to carry.
Yeah,
he's too good of a reporter to be carrying the plastic bags. Man, 713-572-4610. John Lopez.
It's not breaking news.
Talk to someone inside the Astros clubhouse. And he found out some things that will make you feel worse about certain people and better about certain people. We'll tell you what those are next. All right. The national media types are just foaming at the mouth with the Houston Astros. It's actually starting to get a little bit crazy. Wonder what it's going to be like when the games start. It's going to be different. But I think nationally, I don't think that story's going anywhere. No. This is Nick Turturro, the Yankees superfan, talking about this Astros scandal.
the depth of this now, Beltran is out. They're going to have to take away that championship. They're going to have to vacate it. They're going to have to because these players were part of it. It's so f***ed up for baseball. I cannot believe that guys will go along with this. I mean, I've never heard cheating like this. This is... Wow, it's pretty bad, man. I'll tell you, it isn't over. I'm not happy about it. I really am not happy about it.
Vacate the championship? Come on.
Now, that's a bit much, but you know what? A lot of people are saying that.
Get the hell out of here.
I don't agree with it.
That's the gimmicky college BS. Vacate it. Like, it didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, did Vince Young get Reggie Bush's Heisman? No, he didn't. Like, and that supposedly never happened. Like, the whole vacate championships, that's for college. That ain't for a pro.
No, but your bigger point is 100% accurate. I mean, this is just all over. It's all over, and it's not going to go away anytime soon, man.
It's not. It's going to be interesting because, you know, I don't know how it's going to be handled locally, you know, like on the Astros broadcast. I bet they just don't even acknowledge it, which I'm not.
They have to, though.
I don't think so. Do they?
I think they do.
I mean, we thought that they should be talking about no.
There's going to be a new freaking manager on the field. How can you not acknowledge it?
You just say it's a new manager and you just move on. I mean, they don't talk about no hitters just because of Twitter.
You know, that
Twitter has influenced them to not talk about no hitters and they've adapted that. So I don't think they're even going to talk about it. You know, I don't think.
I feel like they will and they have to.
Will they?
Yeah.
What are they going to say?
Well, I mean, y'all know that you maybe approach it that way. Everyone knows what happened in the Astros offseason, controversy and suspensions, and ultimately you lost the...
I think they'll act like it never happened.
No, you can't.
I think they will.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it is going to be interesting because you and I think as part of research, if the Rockets are on ESPN or TNT, you watch that instead of the local broadcast just because you want to hear what media types are saying, national media types, because I just think it's a good resource.
I always do that.
It's a good resource, you know, just for the reputation. I don't regard their opinion higher than the local guys, but it is interesting to hear. I mean, it's going to be 99% of the content when they're on ESPN, when the Astros are on ESPN. I wonder if this actually helps the Astros ratings nationally. Because now baseball, everyone's sitting here saying this is bad for baseball, this sucks. Astros are villains now, and a lot of times villains move the needle. So maybe this is not, it's obviously not good for the Astros and their branding and stuff, but maybe it's something that could in a weird way actually help baseball because people have someone to root against.
I agree
now.
With you. When you heard Nick Turturro talk about this is bad for baseball, no, I think what the right way to put it is this would be bad for baseball if you let it slide.
What the hell was anyone talking about before this in regards to baseball? Like, I don't even know what people were talking. I mean, this seems like this is all that they've talked about in baseball. What else they can talk about?
Right.
I mean, the Rondon contract?
I mean, the reason that there were steroids in baseball is, and then the Major League Baseball turned its head collectively is because it helped the game. It built the game. The audience was larger and larger than it's ever been. The Astros were a phenomenon that didn't necessarily build the game and the popularity of the game, and they actually hurt the popularity. They could hurt the popularity of the game. So that's the biggest difference. Yeah, they were both scandals. One helped the game grow. This one could cripple the game if it went on. So that's why they say it's bad for baseball. No, the right way to put it is it could be bad for baseball if it was allowed to go on.
6378 says the not talk about a no-hitter tradition goes back for decades and decades, way before Twitter. I mean, I think not talking to the pitcher when he's throwing a no-hitter does, but broadcasters would talk about the no-hitter when it was going on. You know, that is clearly they didn't do this because of a Twitter poll. So that is why they do that. And I think as a broadcaster, it's your obligation to say what's going on. A lot of fans appreciate it.
I think it's your job.
More power to you. A lot of fans appreciate them not talking about it, but I think it's a little bit silly not to. 713-572-4610. Let's go to Lamont. Lamont, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Hey, man. Count me as one of the fans that, you know, I'm not a baseball purist. I just like to, Houston Astros. I'm not sad about anything. You know, you win, you win. I just don't even understand the whole logic. You can feel, but you got to feel within these parameters. That's almost like telling me I can break the speed limit, but I can't do it with a Ferrari. It's kind of silly to me. I'm not here to discuss, you know, the whole baseball purists and broke the game and integrity. anytime you got millions involved in anything, integrity is already lost. But what I did want to say is Jim Crane and Tim and Fertitta, mm-hmm. they both did the same thing. They both caused more attention to, let me back. Jim Crane's thing, those guys being suspended for a whole year would have been huge anyway. But I think he added gasoline on the fire by firing those guys. And the same thing Tim and Fertitta did when he came out there blasting Morey about the whole China thing. Yeah, I think that he probably adds more fuel to the fire. And my last thing, and this goes to the whole thing of snitching, man. And I'm kind of glad that the media didn't come out with this, and that dude Fires did, because no one, and y'all telling me that Jim Crane had to know about this. I'm telling y'all that beat writers and people inside their club room and people that's with them 24/7 also had to know about this. And I think that's the angle that no one is talking about. And I'm kind of glad that they didn't open their mouth on this. That's probably the best thing that the Houston medium done in a long time, man. And I'm out.
Well, that's Crane, it's a good transition to what we're going to talk about here,
because Crane did actually warn the guys.
Yes,
according to the report. But yeah, if you're a media type, you're not going to break that.
Well,
right?
Well, it's funny because
are you?
Well, it would have to be a special circumstance. First things first, on his Jim Crane and Tillman Fertitta throwing gasoline on the fire, so to speak. Yes, that ultimately is what happened. But there are certain instances, there are always exceptions, and these were two, but especially the Astros, where you don't do what you want to do, you do what you have to do. And I don't think Jim Crane had any choice but to do that and throw that proverbial gasoline. But real quick, Landry, and maybe we'll pick up on this, but, you know, he talked about the media had to know. Some in the media did know, but it's not one of those things where you had hard facts. The media is on the field before the game,
mm-hmm.
okay? All the way till about 15 minutes before first pitch. And then they go into the clubhouse. They don't go back onto the field unless it's a postseason game or a special occasion or whatever. So from at my understanding, talking with somebody who's been around this club all year long for several years, is that these are things that were like kind of rolled into place, you know, once the media was gone from the tunnel. And certainly it was organized by Jeff Luhnow. We'll elaborate on Jeff Luhnow, but if you're looking for, if you have to blame someone, and I know there's a lot of people involved, and you can blame them all, including players, to a certain degree, but if there was someone who established an environment that led to this, 100% it was Jeff Luhnow.
Okay, let's get more information on that. And what about AJ Hinch? If Jeff Luhnow was the one responsible for this, where does the blame go in regards to AJ Hinch? The OG has some information on that. And did you know there are two football games in 2 days? We're going to look into those, do a little Friday future tripping next. Football's still going on, believe it or not. It's not in Houston. I'm looking at that stadium right now, and it just hit me again. I feel like I just got punched in the coconuts. I'm looking.
It does kind of get real now, doesn't it?
I mean, when you just look and live out here at our 24 Greenway Plaza studios, the Twin Peaks studios, I'm looking at NRG. And I already realized it, but I just realized that I could have been looking at the site of the AFC Championship game in 2 days,
yep.
in which the Houston Texans would be favored to go to the Super Bowl.
Imagine how different our week would have been.
It's depressing.
I'm talking about not on our show, just in the city.
Mm-hmm. Man, those opportunities don't come often, man. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I think a lot of times you make the mistake in sports, and we all do. I'm not immune to it, but you make the mistake of thinking that the best is yet to come. Sometimes it isn't.
Well, it goes fast. Things change real fast.
I mean, Dan Marino went to Super Bowls early in his career, never went back.
Ask the 49ers. They're going the other direction.
Yep.
Were they, 4-12?
Yeah, and now all of a sudden they're there. So, you know, the realization is finally really hitting me that we could have been going to an AFC Championship game against the old Oilers, and we probably should have been if Bill O'Brien didn't the moment wasn't too big for him. That's what Jamesy Hedebo said. Mm-hmm. Maybe the moment just became too big for him, and the Texans were surprised. They surprised themselves with the start they had, and that's why they ended up getting blown out despite having a 20-point lead. But that's just a 24-point lead, to be exact. But that's just the reality that we've dealt with, and the games must go on. So we got Championship Sunday, and we're going to have it for you on Sports Radio 610, by the way, if you want to partake in such thing. But I understand if Texans fans want to just ignore it and not even be around it. But I'm still going to consume Championship Sunday like I always have. And when we go tripping, Friday Future tripping in a little bit, we'll have to make our predictions, and we'll talk about who we're rooting for. But before we do that, we've been talking about this Astros cheating scandal. And, John, I understand that you you did a little bit of digging, and you know who to blame for this thing, and someone that probably doesn't deserve as much blame as originally expected.
Yeah, just to talking with someone I've known for a long time that has been in that building and knows the intricacies of what was going on. Jeff Luhnow was the guy, all right? You hate to just put it on one person, and you can't just put it on one person. Everybody who was involved deserves, you know, the repercussion and the responsibility. A.J. Hinch was suspended and fired, not necessarily because he instigated it and organized it, but because he found out about it and should have said something. You know, it's one of those things like, if you didn't know, you should have, and if you did know, you should have spoken up. But there is no question. I had like a 30-40 minute conversation yesterday with this old friend of mine. Jeff Luhnow is not who you thought he was. You know, this sort of cerebral, calm, you know, kind of brains behind the operation, et cetera. What I picked up on is Jeff Luhnow created this environment, and that's the majority of the issue. Once you create an environment for people to do this, and you don't, and you turn your head or don't stop it, then all of a sudden, you know, it can grow. But not only did he create that environment, I was told that he instructed staff, like his direct staff, not to speak to anyone outside of the building about what, you know, what their inner workings were, what their thoughts were on baseball, and certainly not to the media. Don't give them anything at all. He called the media, quote, enemies. And that's fine. I don't care about that. I'm just mentioning that as a side note. But he also planted false stories, told people flat out that he would not give them any insight or any information on anything. Most people around the team considered him a quote, as I remember it, a bad person who could not be trusted. Nobody believed that Luhnow did not know what was going on. I mean, nobody in there believed that he did not know what was going on. That's before, during, and after. In fact, he surrounded himself, and I wrote down the quote during the break because I tried to remember it exactly. I think I got it right. I was told, quote, Jeff surrounded himself with arrogant Wall Street geeks with no social skills who thought they were untouchable. That's the environment that he created. Let me read that a quote again. This is from somebody who's been around the team. Jeff surrounded himself with arrogant Wall Street geeks with no social skills who thought they were untouchable. And so that's where it starts.
He was a little more wild than you think, too.
Absolutely. He doesn't look the part, right?
Well, I can tell you he was a little bit more wild than you think.
Yeah. And, oh, by the way, he was behind, like, as in helping write or edit the PR statement.
We said that immediately.
Immediately.
I mean, we said that immediately. That the PR statement that the Astros released after the Taubman incident. I mean, that was very clear that was a Luhnow thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, yeah, Jeff Luhnow was kind of if not the ringleader, like in terms of actually doing it, he certainly was a guy who created that environment and knew what was going on and didn't do anything about it. AJ Hinch, on the other hand, I was told, this is a direct quote from A.J. Hinch. After he found out about everything, he heard some things in the dugout occasionally, and it got to the point where at least once in one game, Hinch grabbed the baseball bat and just shattered the monitors in the tunnel that they were using to decode and to send the messages and signals on the pitch. Like, he was that mad. He took a baseball bat and just shattered them, hoping that he would let the players know, that's enough, man, we can't do this, or stop it, or whatever. But it continued. And after it continued and he was talking about it, A.J. Hinch reportedly said, "What am I supposed to do, tell them not to hit?" And I get it. I mean, he's the manager. He's trying to win another World Series or win a World Series. And, you know, he knows this is going on, and his biggest mistake was just letting it go on. For what? To try to win? I mean, he was in the crossfire. He was in the crossfire. You don't blame him, but he did have to ultimately, you know, pay the price.
Well, I feel bad for AJ then.
I do too. AJ was not the villain as much as just somebody who was complicit because he didn't talk about it or bring it to light.
And now there's these rumors on the internet. I mean, you want to talk about going viral, that Jose Altuve was wearing some sort of electronic device under his shirt. Jose Altuve, through his agent, Scott Boras, has denied it, but national media types, they're just foaming at the mouth. They smell blood, and that's what's going on. And now they're talking about Jose potentially having an electronic device.
Mm-hmm. And you're refusing to believe it.
Yeah, I'm not going to. I'll defend Jose Altuve forever.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to. I'm not going to even begin to accuse Jose. You got to give me proof. You got to give me proof.
For real.
For real?
Yep,
for real. Jose didn't do it. He refused.
Well, according to you, nobody did it.
I don't know if I'd go that far.
We went through the list of players.
All right. Maybe I'll change my mind. Let's go through the players. Who cheated? 713-572-4610. Who cheated on the Astros?
Jose Altuve.
No.
Josh Reddick.
Probably, but not good enough.
George Springer.
I mean, yes, because the way he talked about Beltran in that interview was pretty telling. I would say, yeah, possibly.
Carlos Correa.
Was he even in the lineup enough to be able to do it? It was like 60 games a year.
Alex Bregman.
Next.
You're in denial.
Next.
What's your favorite river?
Good one, John.
Denial River.
Denial? Is that your favorite river?
Good one, John.
Yeah. Jordan.
No.
Yuli.
No.
Brantley.
Hell no.
What were you saying earlier, Figgy? Yeah, the best year of his life.
Yeah.
No. No way.
Mm-hmm. Martin Maldonado.
Hell yes.
Sure, throw him under the
Absolutely.
Bus.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Aledmys Diaz.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, throw another backup under the
bus.
He
was in charge of it.
Mm-hmm. Kyle Tucker.
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, my gosh. It's Abraham.
Chirinos.
Abraham Toro.
Oh, Toro for sure. Toro hit that home run, yeah. Although that was in Toronto.
So the good players didn't, the bad ones did.
Yes.
Okay, gotcha.
That's it.
Gotcha.
100%, that's it.
Man, I don't know if I'd go with 100%.
100%, that's it. Jose did not do it. Let's go Friday future trip and championship Sunday in 2 days. Let's make our predictions on the games, and then let's throw out some other predictions as we sprint into the weekend and pass it to Clint Sterner and Show. Show is in with him. When Show first.
What? That's not his name.
That's what he goes by.
Show?
Show. That's what he goes by.
Really?
He goes by Show. I was against calling him Show, but I actually listened yesterday, and he can have a nickname.
Yeah.
I'm okay with him having a nickname. At first, I was like, all right, if this guy sucks, I'm not calling him Show,
mm-hmm.
but after I listened yesterday, I decided I would call him Show.
Show.
Show. His name is Ron.
Mm-hmm.
His real name is Ron Hughley.
Yeah.
He's with Sterner. Did a good job yesterday, so mm-hmm. if he wants me to call him Show, I'll call him Show.
Left a puddle underneath that chair.
Bro. That dude was sweating worse than I mean, it looked like he got in a water balloon fight. And I'm glad he addressed it on the air because it was awkward, and he said that Clint was seeing it, but my man,
he was looking like Jordan Peele.
Bro, his sweat was down to his belt. It was so bad. He was looking bad.
Does
Jordan Peele sweat a lot?
No, you know the gif that Jordan Peele
sweating. Yeah. The dripping off his, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was sweating.
Remember Cheers? George went?
Is that the guy at the bar?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's Cheers.
Giant pits.
What kind of stupid-ass comment was that? Was that the guy at the bar?
Yeah. Cheers? Yeah, that's him.
That was the only damn scene on the show.
That was the only set.
What in the hell was I talking about just now?
Exactly.
Nah, but my man's got to do something about that sweat.
I can help him, actually. I know
how are you going to help
a way to fix it. There's a deodorant, and I'll have to
He says he's tried every deodorant.
No, I bet he hadn't tried this one.
That's what he said.
I bet.
He said he's tried every deodorant.
Mm-hmm. We'll see. We'll see.
It was bad.
I sweat a lot, but not like that.
Bro.
Not like that.
Bro.
These studios not even that hot.
Nah.
No, they're cold, in fact.
My man was sweating really bad. Friday future tripping. Green Bay at San Francisco to take on the 49ers. It's a third-year coach versus a first-year coach. Kyle Shanahan in his third year at San Francisco and Matt LaFleur his first year. Both former Texans assistants. San Francisco is a 7.5-point favorite. I was hesitant to pick the 49ers last week because I assumed that in Kyle Shanahan's first playoff game, there were going to be some growing pains as well as Jimmy Garoppolo. He's just too good of an offensive play caller. I think the San Francisco 49ers go to the Super Bowl. I think Kyle Shanahan leads them there. Their defense is good as well. And also, I think they're the only team that could potentially beat the Chiefs. I think of all the teams, I think San Francisco has the best chance, like Aaron Rodgers, like what the Pack have done. But give me Kyle Shanahan. Give me the home team.
Not so fast, my friend. He has the look. Aaron Rodgers just looks like he's... First of all, talk about it. The Green Bay Packers, one of the most noted teams, famous teams in history, with one of the greatest quarterbacks in history, and people have slept on them all year long.
Yeah, and they're 13-3. You all wouldn't know it.
All year long.
So you're going with the Pack.
I'm going with Aaron Rodgers. I think their defense is good enough to stop the 49ers, and Aaron Rodgers, I was going to call him Aaron like he's my boy.
Yeah.
And Aaron just has that, it just looks like he's on a mission, man.
I mean, historically, I think history could be on your side because Aaron Rodgers, this is personal for him. Like, this is the biggest opportunity he has because he grew up a 49ers fan. He grew up around that area. Was a huge Niners fan, and when they had the first pick in the draft, they chose Alex Smith instead of Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
And Aaron Rodgers just dropped all the way, you know, to after the 20th pick to the Green Bay Packers. So, you know, you talk about a guy with one Super Bowl, Aaron Rodgers, you talk about a guy who's been slept on, going back home in that stadium against the team that broke his heart.
Right.
History could be on your side.
But it's
there,
not even just
like
that. To me, it's it is in part that, but it's also he knows he needs another Super Bowl, and there's not a lot more chances left.
It would give him as many as Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think it would be huge for Aaron Rodgers to go out there and get that, and he would be a bigger part of Peyton Manning was than the second one. Let's just be honest. Let's go to the AFC side of things. Should have been the Houston Texans hosting the Tennessee Titans. We all know that. But the reality is that is not happening. Second-year head coach Mike Vrabel versus Andy Reid. We talk about all these young coaches. There's a first-year, a second-year, and a third-year coach in the postseason. And then, oh, by the way, there's Andy Reid looking for that first Super Bowl as a head coach. He has one as an assistant going back to Green Bay. Who do you like here? Do you think the Titans could do what the Texans couldn't and go to Kansas City and pull off the upset?
Well, I've got a big qualifier on this. Two big qualifiers. Tell me yes or no, and I know you don't know for sure, but is Chris Jones going to play on that Chiefs defensive line?
I have no idea. I thought he was going to play against the Texans. I don't know.
Let's
say he does.
Let's say, okay, we'll assume he does. That makes it more difficult. And which team scores first? Which team? Because this is just like last week, which I was wrong about.
You don't think the Titans can play from behind, right?
No. I think if the Titans score first and Chris Jones does not play, I think the Titans can win this outright.
Wow.
Outright wins.
Wow.
Yes.
Wouldn't that be something?
Those are two big ifs.
Wouldn't that be something?
But I'm going to assume that they don't score first on the road.
Man, that would be hard for me to turn on a microphone on 10 a.m. on Reaction Monday and have to talk about the Tennessee Titans being in the Super Bowl. That would be...
Yeah.
I'm throwing up just thinking about it.
2 weeks worth of that discussion.
Man,
yeah,
that's a nightmare.
I'm going to pick the Chiefs, but if you're a betting man,
that's a nightmare.
I think the Tennessee Titans are going to cover. 7.5?
7.5.
Yeah, something like that.
I mean, I don't know how you stop this Chiefs offense.
Right.
I think that the Titans are better equipped to do so. I'm just going to go with the Chiefs. But, I mean, the Titans have been doubted time after time after time. So
it wouldn't shock me if they won, but I'm just going to go with both home teams. I'm going to go with San Francisco versus Kansas City. But my goodness. By the way, am I forgiven for picking the Titans to win the division? Like, a lot of people are giving me crap about
that.
Yeah,
you are.
You know, 5 weeks in. Can I be forgiven for that?
Yes, I think you should. You've been forgiven a long time ago.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you very much. Jeez. 713-572-4610. Do you have any specific predictions, any Friday future trippings?
I think they're not going to stop Derrick Henry. You know, he's on too big of a roll right now. That's why I think they're going to cover and maybe win outright if they can score early and Chris Jones doesn't play. But I'm saying at least 160 yards. At least a 160 for Derrick Henry. He's that good right now. He's in that good of a groove, no doubt.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, I think Travis Kelce of the Kansas City Chiefs, less than 5 catches. I think the Tennessee Titans take away Travis Kelce like the Texans couldn't. I think Travis Kelce has a quiet day. Now, what does that mean for Tyreek Hill?
I can't see that happen.
I have no idea. I think Travis Kelce has a much quieter day against the Tennessee Titans. They have their safeties, man. Like, the Texans didn't have their safeties.
Yeah, but he's still Travis Kelce.
Yeah, he's one of the best. Mm-hmm. But I think they keep him in check.
That's a bold statement right there. That's a real bold statement.
Nick Bosa, San Francisco 49ers. 2 sacks of Aaron Rodgers. 2 sacks for Nick Bosa mm-hmm. in the NFC Championship.
I can't disagree with that. I can't disagree with that at all. Aaron Rodgers, more than 300 yards and 3 touchdowns. I think he's going to light him up. That's a good defense, too.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun.
Mm-hmm.
713-572-4610, if you want to get in. Super Bowl is going to be interesting, to say the least. I think if the NFL had their way, I think it would be Chiefs versus Packers. I think that would be the way. That would be what they would
want. You
know
what's cool about that?
That matter?
No. The Super Bowl one was Chiefs versus Packers.
Wow.
And on the 100th anniversary, you could have Chiefs versus Packers. That was Hank Stram and Lombardi, man. 64 toss power trap.
Thanks for that education.
No, 64 toss power trap was Super Bowl III.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, thanks for that education. Mm-hmm. You don't get that anywhere else. That's the OG John Lopez.
No, you don't.
Just straight up bringing it. Thank you very much for your service, sir.
I'm sensing sarcasm.
No, thank you very much for your service, sir. I appreciate you.
Still sensing it.
No, thank you very much, man. I appreciate you. Figgy, what are you getting into this weekend?
I'm chilling this weekend.
I'm doing absolutely nothing. I'm not doing it.
We've had so much football every weekend, so many things. It's time to just.
I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
This week's been exhausting. But it is a pleasure and it's a responsibility we don't take lightly to be able to give you the pulse of the city. It's not always easy. You don't like to have to face the reality.
This week has not been easy, man.
Has not been easy, but we hope that we've done a good job in including you and giving you a pulse of the city of H-Town. I'm not doing a damn thing, though. I'm going to watch that Aaron Hernandez documentary.
What are you going to sip on?
Water.
I watched the first 2 episodes of it.
Water. Is it good?
Oh, yeah?
It's pretty good, yeah.
I'm going to check it out.
Come on, you're not going to sip on water.
Water.
Come on now.
Straight water, bro.
It's me you're talking to.
I'm just straight water. I'm talking to all the loopholes, too. Yeah. For Figgy Fig being the best in the world at what he do, for all of our guests that we've had this week, including Pete Rose, John McClain, James E. Hedebo, Stanford Rout, and for the OG John Lopez, I'm Landry Locker. This has been another edition of In the Loop. Clint and Show are next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.